Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching. I am just finishing my prayer walk this morning, having walked through the darkness of the woods between Watford and my house. I'm approaching home, and I wanted to record some thoughts I had on seeing the moon this morning. It's January, and it's jolly dark in the mornings. And this morning, the moon was incredibly bright. I believe the night before was a particularly unusual event, some kind of special eclipse, or was it called a blood moon, perhaps? I'm not quite sure. A friend of mine took some pictures. Maybe I'll look those up on Facebook and post one. Incredibly bright moon this morning. I mean, it's hard to even look at it. It was so bright, like a searchlight up in the sky. And it just led my thoughts in prayer, of course, to the power and magnificence of God and his creation. I couldn't imagine making a moon. But then what about the planets and the stars and all the stars we can see, let alone the ones we can't, all the billions of stars? Billions of galaxies, aren't they now, they reckon? And God made all that, sustains all that, and it is as nothing to him. He names the stars. And that power led me to thinking about how lucky, how fortunate we are that God does not use his power to our detriment. And in fact, more significantly, at least for relationship, that power does not get in the way of him having a relationship with us. And so I reflected on the scriptures such as, what is man that you are mindful of him? Made him a little lower than the angels, yet crowned him with glory. And who are we? We are people who have some power. We have some perhaps delegated power or inherited power because of God. We're made in his image. But that power is so puny. We can't even begin to imagine creating planets and stars and galaxies. So at the power of our God, the power of our Heavenly Father is immense. That's why, at least part of the reason why, presumably, the Holy of Holies existed. How can mortal human beings encounter the presence of such power? And of course, there's a holiness component there too, but I suppose it's the power of holiness, or holiness and all of its power, that prevents humankind from entering the presence of God, from metaphorically seeing his face. And this was a problem. It was a temporary problem, luckily, because of Jesus, but it was a problem. How does God deal with that? And so I just spent this time praying and thanking God that he did not allow his power to become a barrier to him connecting with his creation, with humankind, and of course praying personally with me. His power and his purity ought to be a real problem, a real barrier, in fact an impossible bridge to cross, an impossible cavern to cross. Maybe that's more like it. And yet God does it, and he does it through Jesus, and he does it through the cross. So we do have powers. We have powers of creativity. Human inventiveness is, well, seems to be infinite, whether it's the arts or engineering or science and different kinds of disciplines. We have the power of healing. Whatever one's thoughts about the existence of the miraculous powers of the Spirit, such as we see in the days of the New Testament, whether they are around and available today or not, nonetheless, we have powers of healing, whether it be directly through the skills of medical practitioners, or the power of a healing word, or a healing presence, a listening ear, a not just a sympathetic, but an empathetic person sitting next to someone going through a tough time. Such healing that's available. So we have powers, but they're limited. And they're nothing compared to the powers of our great God who made the galaxies. So that power, what did we... So Jesus is the one who has that power, but reveals to us that God is personally concerned for us, has compassion for us, and loves us. And he shows us, as John chapter 1 says, the truth and grace that are God's and that are now available to us to be understood and experienced. So we come to know the truth of God, we come to know the grace of God, the love of God, through the way that Jesus lived and the way that he taught. We see the power of God demonstrated in the life of Jesus and his miracles, and we see the grace of God, the love of God, the compassion of God in the way that he was with people, with men and women that came his way. It reminds me of when my children were small. Any of us with children that are small now, or used to be small, will relate to this. When you're a parent and your child is small, you don't use all of your power. Sometimes you let them win at games, even though you could beat them. Don't tell them that. But you don't use all your power. You don't use all your intellectual power. You don't use all your sporting skills. You don't use all of your physical power. And when you're helping a young child put a jumper on and they get it stuck on their elbow, you don't use all of your strength to then ram it over your child's head and onto their body. That would break their elbow or arm or break their neck. You're restrained in the way that you use your power because of love, because of love for your child. It seems to me that's similar to the way that God is with us. He's restrained in the use of his power and his purity, or the power of his purity. He is patient. His compassion for us, his restraint, means he's patient. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to eternal life. So God's restraints. In Luke chapter 10, I'm teaching a lesson on this this week. In fact, this is going to go out after I've taught the lesson, so I might have some more reflections then. But in Luke chapter 10, in the sending out of the 72, Jesus tells his disciples to go out and preach, but woe for those who reject them. And there's a day of judgment coming. Now, it's in the future, and it occurred to me as I read that this is a demonstration of God's restraint. He could have already passed judgment on the people to whom the disciples were going to speak to preach the gospel to tell about the kingdom. But he restrains himself. God restrains himself from judgment because he wants all men to be saved, all people to be saved, or everybody to have a chance. And that's an example of his patience tempering his power, his compassion tempering his power. It made me grateful, just on a personal level, because God has every right to exercise judgment on me at any moment. But I'm still here, and it hasn't happened, and in fact, he has told me he won't do that because of what Jesus has done for me. So I'm riffing on the restraint of God today, praying about the restraint of God, the glorious, grace-filled, grace-inspired, compassion-inspired grace of God, which means that his power is not utilized in all of its fullness in the way it could. But his power was used in what way? His power was used in all of its fullness in Jesus going to the cross and all of the powers of hell being visited on him instead of me. Now, that internalizing of that power and purity, that's amazing. So I'm thanking God today for his restraint. How about you? What helps you to get in touch with the restraint of God, the patience, the mercy of God. What do you think about this thinking I've been musing on today about God's power and his willing restraint of his powers? I'd love to know what you think, so please leave a comment. Leave a comment publicly where we can all see it, because we learn best when we learn in community. And if you know someone who might benefit from this, please do pass it on. And leave a review in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. If you leave a review, it just means that more people will notice these recordings and hopefully benefit from them. And thank you so much for listening. I do pray that your times of quiet with God this week will lead you to some wonderful places of intimacy and refreshment and inspiration as we contemplate the great privilege it is that God exercises restraint for us so that we can know him and enjoy him. Take care and God bless you.